upon my destiny, upon my purpose in this earth. Shake yourself.
We've been quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together in Him in heavenly places.
I've got news for you. Anything that Jesus says in this book, it's not false.
Some more of these guys, and they're going to be coming on the scene. We're going to see revivals. We're going to see things change.
Now, why can you be strong in the Lord? Because He's delegated authority to you. It's in Him. It's in Him.
The church needs to carry out the Great Commission of Christ. You better read it.
So anyhow, you know, I just want to say this. On my way up here, I was thanking the Lord that, you know, I come here, and the numbers is not important, but it is. But all I know is I feel like it's family here. So we should all feel like that when we're in a, like somebody was saying the other day, you know, whether you walk in a Baptist church or Presbyterian church or a Charismatic church or Pentecostal church or Catholic church, whatever, if you're born again, you should feel at home. You really should. Because they're one church, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one Father, one Gospel. But it's just not the way it is because of the division within doctrine and stuff like that. Unfortunately, that doesn't sit too well with God. Trust me. I know what the Word says, and He's going to judge us according to that. Last time I was here, I talked about the judgments of God, right? And it really ministered to me. But I know I've got the right message again tonight because I prepared my notes yesterday. And right before, well, about an hour before leaving, I just something the Lord just brought to my attention as my opening statement, which I had not written in my notes, and I'm just going to share it here. Basically, what I wrote here is that everyone, sinner or saint alike, everyone has access to God's grace. It doesn't matter. Whether you're saved or you're not saved, we have access to God's grace. Okay? We have access to it. Okay? It's for the saint and the sinner. Okay? So let me clarify that. I wrote down here, first of all, in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God it's who wishes all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So all men, it's the word anthropos. It's not men like gender men. It's men and women, okay? Male and female. It's His will for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And in Ephesians 2:8, it says that we're saved by grace through faith. Right? So that's why I'm saying His grace is available to the saint and the sinner. So we have two different kinds of grace. Okay, we've got saving grace. Okay, saving grace, grace that will save you from hell. And then there's another grace that saves us according to the word sozo, which I've mentioned here this before. The word save, there's two Greek words in the Greek. There's two Greek words for the word translated save in the English. You got the word sozo and the word soterio. Okay? And the one I'm talking about tonight is sozo. So sozo not also saved from hell, saved from the judgment, the great white throne judgment, which I talked about last time I was here, but also saved or delivered. The word sozo sometimes is translated healed in the Gospels, where it says Jesus healed. If you look at it in the Greek, it's the word sozo. So saved, salvation is not only saved from hell, but it's saved from disease, saved from poverty, saved from sickness, saved from weaknesses, saved from fear, saved from worry, all these different things. It all belongs to us. But you have access to it by faith. You got to believe it. Okay? So that's basically my introduction. Yeah. So I said here, saving or sozo grace received by saving faith. Okay? So there's salvation in grace, but there's also salvation in faith. It's called saving faith. Okay? Faith that saves. Yes. Faith that saves. Tonight we're looking at, I call this insights into the grace of God. I wanted to teach on that last time I was here, but the Lord just brought it to me. No, teach on the judgment. And like I said before, I make these videos here, it's not just for you guys, it's for Africa. Or any other place where they speak English, we're going to make DVDs out of it, stuff like that. So, He wanted a video, and I got a lot of good responses from people. And they're saying, wow, we never hear about that in our churches, about the judgments of God. I said, I know, and that's probably why the Lord had... God has me teaching stuff that most people don't hear about. I like it. That's what makes me unpopular sometimes. But I like it. I like when people don't like me. Do you believe that? I actually like that. I'm not like most preachers. Preachers like it when they like you. But I like it when they don't like me, as long as I know that he likes me. That's the main thing. Because you know why? I'm going to get more rewards on that day. I am. What did Jesus say? He says, woe unto you that when all men speak well of you. Is that what he said? Did he say that? I don't know where. I know it's in the Bible. I don't have a verse. It just came to me right now. I don't go looking for trouble. I'm not. But you know what? I'm a troublemaker. I am a troublemaker. Jesus was the... I'm not even on my notes yet, man. I think I won't make it to Oxford for 9:30. All I know is Jesus was the greatest spiritual troublemaker that this earth has ever seen. And Jesus is looking for more troublemakers. We got a lot of troublemakers out there. And you know what? It's not good trouble. It's bad trouble. I'm talking about good trouble here. Good trouble. Okay? All right. Let me get into my notes here. All right? Okay. So, insight into the grace of God. The Greek word for the English word grace is the word charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Okay? Charis. Or cherish, but charis. Okay? So, key definitions for the word charis, basically, it's divine favor. We all know that one. Divine favor. Or favor from God. Divine, right? The divine, right? He's divine. But also it has the idea of unmerited favor. We already know that one, right? And that's big. It's huge. But there's another kind of definitions here that I've discovered over the years. It also has the idea of to do with God's abilities. God's abilities are God's enablement. We're going to look at this tonight, okay? God's enablement, also God's benefits towards mankind. God's benefits towards mankind, or God's blessings towards mankind. And also, I like this one here. I heard it from a preacher. I won't mention his name because I don't like a lot of his teaching. But what he said this time was right. He said that also has to do with God dealing with mankind as if man had never sinned before. That's grace. Once you're born again, God wants to deal with you as if you've never sinned before. Why? Because your sin has been forgiven. And he wants to treat you like a son. And a son... don't sin. If you ever walk to this place, walking in the fullness of your sonship, you're going to walk in sinlessness. And a lot of people don't believe in that, but you know what? They're wrong. You can walk in sinlessness because your spirit, we've talked about this before, right? Like, I mean, a few months ago, remember? Spirit, soul, and body? Your spirit has no sin in it. Because you've got his nature. You've got his nature. You think Jesus, in the nature of Jesus, he's got sin in his nature? You gotta be kidding. It's holy, it's blameless, it's beyond reproach. It's got the image of God in it. And you're born of incorruptible seed. What part of you was born of incorruptible seed? Your spirit. Your spirit. There's no sin in it. So you transfer that over into your soul, you walk in sinlessness. Paul says, I no longer live, Christ lives in me. The day that Christ lives his life through you, you're gonna walk a sinless life. Yeah, it's doable. It's attainable. But that's not my message tonight. But we're heading into this here. So, observations and comments here is most of the epistles, if you look at this, most of the epistles in the New Testament begin as well as end with this little word grace. If you notice that. Look at the epistles when you guys go home tonight or this week, whatever. I hope you guys do some of your homework sometimes. But anyhow, the epistles start with the word grace and they finish with the word grace. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Once you understand the word grace, it'll add to the epistles. It'll add to the epistles, okay? So, let's start here. The first key reference, we're going to look at John 1, 14, and then 16 to 17. So, and the Word, Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, talking about the incarnation, and tabernacle, fixed his tent, of flesh lived a while among us, is the Amplified, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from the Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth, full of grace. 16, for out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all have a share, and we were all supplied with what? One grace after another. one grace after another, one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. Wow. Wow. Can you guys say wow?
Wow.
All right. Thank you. 17. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved favor, spiritual blessing, and truth came through Jesus Christ. Key words in all these verses is grace and the word truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. It's mentioned right there. I'm going to do a teaching on truth one of these days out here. Okay? Not tonight. Alright? Alright. Next verse here. With the word grace and truth in it, Colossians 1:6. Colossians 1:6. Amplified. Which has come to you, indeed in the whole world, that gospel is bearing fruit and is still growing by its own inherent power, even as it is done among yourselves ever since the day that you have heard and came to know and understand the grace of God in truth. In truth. In truth. You came to know the grace or undeserved favor of God in reality, deeply and clearly and thoroughly, becoming actively and intimately acquainted with it. I don't listen to preachers as much as I used to, but I do once in a while, and they teach on grace, and they don't teach it according to truth. They've got false doctrine in there, and I don't want to get into that tonight. But God wants us to teach on grace, but in context with truth. Okay? So the next references we're going to look at, key words in this is the word of His grace. So we have grace and truth. Now we're going to look at verses with the word of His grace. So we have Acts 14:3. So Paul and Barnabas stayed on there for a long time, speaking freely and fearlessly and boldly in the Lord, who continued to bear testimony to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be performed by their hands. Key words, the word of His grace. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commit to you, I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care, and I command you to the word of His grace. There it is again. The word of His grace. To the commands and counsel and promises of His unmerited favor, it is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all of God's set apart ones, God's people, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Key words here. The word of His grace. The word of His grace. Very interesting. Okay. Pardon me? Amen. We move on here. Key words in these verses here is, it is by grace that you're saved. So you got the word grace, you got the word saved. So see how the word grace with works, okay? The first one was grace with the word truth. Then we had the word grace with the word word. Now we've got the word grace with the word saved. Okay? That's what I'm looking at tonight, okay? So Ephesians 2, verse 5, and then 7-8. Alright, so 5, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He, God, made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself. Woo! The same new life which He quickened us. He quickened Him. For it is by grace, His favor and His mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from the judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. There you got the word saved, you got the word grace. 7. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in His kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. You got the word grace there. We got the word riches also, something that I don't have time to look at tonight. But verse 8, again, we got the word saved and the word grace. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from the judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. So we've got the word grace, and we've got the word salvation. Right? Saved. Sozo. Alright? So now we're moving on to something a little bit different here with the word grace. I'm going to point these things out here. Very interesting here. They're adjectives to the word grace. They describe the grace of God. Okay? They add emphasis to the grace of God. Alright? So let's start with Romans 5:17. This is out of the New King James. For it is by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So there we've got the word abundance of grace. Not just grace. There's a reason why he put abundance of grace there. There's a reason for that. Everything God says and everything God does, there's a purpose behind it. There is. God don't put just add words just to add words. There's a reason why he put abundance of grace. There's a reason for that. When I meditate the word now, sometimes I'll just meditate one or two words, not whole sentences or whole verses. And I'll add those little words now. So I don't just meditate on the word grace anymore. I'll meditate on the word abundance of your grace. I want to build that on the inside of me. I want to build the imagery of his word on the inside, because I've said this here before, Luke 8:11, it says that the word, the seed is the word of God. So every seed has an image in it, right? Every seed has to be sown, right? Alright? If we want a harvest of the word of God, we have to sow it, because it's been given to us in seed form. I'm going to reiterate that every time I come here. As long as I come here, you can hear a lot of things. I don't like to repeat myself before they get on the inside of you. Right? Okay? It's called the law of repetition. 2 Corinthians 4:15. This is the King James here. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So here we got the word abundance again. Abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. God could have had just the Apostle Paul just penned the word grace, and it would have been good enough. It would have. He could have said that the grace might through the thanksgiving of many. No, he wrote the abundant grace. The abundant grace before the abundance of grace. Now we're looking at this one. This next one is a real humdinger. 2 Corinthians 9:14. It says here, and they yearn for you while they pray for you because of the surpassing measure of his grace. So now he's not using the word abundance, he's using the word surpassing measure of his grace. The surpassing measure of his grace. I want to experience the surpassing measure of his grace. Grace is something that God has given us for us to experience. Okay? First of all, grace is Jesus, right? The grace of God is Christ, right? Salvation, right? Well, who came to save us? It's Christ, right? The second Adam, the first, God's firstborn son, the whole thing, right? Okay, so grace is Christ. So now once you start unpacking grace, then you start unpacking who Christ was. Okay, so the surpassing measure of God's grace. I love this next one here. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to what? Not the glory of his grace yet, it's the riches of his grace. You seen this? Do you see this? The abundance of grace. The surpassing measure of his grace. The glory of his grace. Now, the riches of his grace. It adds a lot to the word grace, doesn't it? Come on. You guys excited for what? You sure? Okay. All right. The riches of his grace. I love this next one here. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Key words, not only the riches of his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of his grace. Powerful, very powerful. That's why you got to meditate on this stuff. Next one, 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of our Lord actually flowed out superabundantly and beyond measure for me, Paul's talking here, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus. Key words. The grace of our Lord flowed out superabundantly. It's a grace, it's a superabundant grace. We had the abundance of grace, now it's a superabundance of His grace. Okay? These are all qualifying words concerning one little word, charis, grace. Alright? And this, and beyond measure, the Amplified adds here, beyond measure. Last one concerning words that qualify the word grace, or add emphasis to word grace, or they're types of adjectives, is 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Each one has received a gift. At least one of us here has at least one gift. At least, minimum, one gift. Minimum. I counted my gifts that I've discovered so far. I probably have at least 10 gifts working in me. And I don't see them working the fullest right now, but I'm going to see them. The more I meditate on them, the more God opens doors, I'm going to see more of these gifts working through me. You know, we have more than one gift. We have at least one gift to operate out of. To minister to one another, that's what's here. To minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And here are the key words here, is the manifold grace of God. Wow. The manifold grace of God. Okay? Most people read through this stuff and it don't mean nothing. They don't even see this stuff. Well, I do. That's what makes me a teacher. The only reason I see this stuff is because of the gift of a teacher working on the inside of me. I don't take credit for this. And this is nothing, but I'm just saying, I don't take credit for it. It's the one who lives on the inside of me. Remember I taught on that a few months ago? Remember? I said, there's a person who lives on the inside of you. There's a person. It's not just about you. There's somebody who lives on the inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what I was telling my mom tonight. My mom wasn't doing too good last week, and I thought I lost her. And in a restaurant on top of that. Anyhow, she's doing great, and she's in her chair today before leaving and all that. And I'm not into selfies. You know what a selfie is? You take your little phone, you take pictures of yourself. I'm not into that. But I took selfies with me and my mom. And I'm going to put it on my Facebook page, my Facebook account. And I said, she's sitting there, and I started pointing at her gut, at her tummy. I said, you know, there's somebody who's inside of there, Mom. She goes, well, I know. I said, are you sure you know? There's somebody who lives on the inside of you. And you know, I know. I said, you know who that is? It's God, the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you right now. And I said, the more you come in agreement with His Word, the more you're going to see Him manifesting that Word in your life. You know, so I want my mom to live, you know, listen, she wants to go home because her husband's there now and her daughter's there. Okay, I understand all that. But I said, you're going to see them one day again. You're going to see them. They're in heaven. You're going to see them. So don't be such a hurry to go home. You know, but if you want to go home, go home. I'm not going to hold you back. You know, she's going to be 89. But at the same time, you know, she's in pretty good shape. So I think she should strive for 100 years. 100. Why not? What a great number. You make the newspapers, everything. Why not? You get to give glory to God. Why not? Come on. You only get to live on this earth once, for crying out loud.
We live forever.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, let's move on here. Now, this is a little bit different concerning the grace of God. This is very interesting here. This has to do with finances. Provision. Okay? This first verse here, a lot of people say it has nothing to do with provision or hogwash. It does. It has everything to do with provision. 2 Corinthians 8:9. God gave me this verse years ago, and He gave me the other one even years before that. The second one he gave me back in 1999, and I had no idea what he was talking about. Now I know what he's talking about. So the first one, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, His kindness, His gracious generosity, His undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that through He was so very rich, yet for your sake He became so very poor. Where? At the cross. In order that by His poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Okay? Now God had given me this verse quite a few years ago. And one night, I'm sitting upstairs, my parents are in bed, my dad was still around, and I just read, I walked right by the living room table, and God spoke, Jesus spoke to me, and He said, I was stripped of my wealth in order to make you wealthy. And as soon as He said that, it lined up with 2 Corinthians 8:9. I was stripped of my wealth, where? At the cross, in order to make you wealthy. Why? So I can go around and flaunt my wealth? No, so I can get the work done. I can get my work done. The work that God has called me to do, it's going to take wealth. Whether it's $100,000, whether it's $100 million, whatever, it's going to take wealth. It takes wealth. It takes wealth. To do this, it takes wealth. Maybe not millions, maybe not thousands, but it's wealth. It takes wealth anyhow. Anything we do takes wealth. For me to get here, it took me wealth. Gas, the vehicle, insurance, oil, maintenance, wealth. It's God's will for us to be wealthy in context, in walking in our sonship, and in context in walking in our calling. God wants us wealthy, okay? Next verse, I love this verse here. He gave me this one, like I said, back in 1999. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace. I confess these verses every day. These two verses, I confess them every day. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish an abundance. This word abundance is all over the place in this verse too. For every good work and charitable donation. I don't like the word donation in there, the Amplified added it. But every charitable or every good work. Every good work. In Ephesians 2:10 it says that we are His workmanship. Right? And we are His workmanship. What? Created in Christ Jesus. For what? For what? For good works. For good works. Those good works. God wants to give you wealth to get His good works done on this earth. To get His good works done. So that we may walk in them, it says in Ephesians 2:10. So that we may actually walk in those good works. Okay? Alright. So let's move on here to Romans 6:14. I love this one. Concerning grace and sin. Grace and sin. So we just finished talking about grace and provision. And now we're talking about grace and sin. For sin shall not or no longer have exert dominion or control over you, since now you are not under the law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. So grace sets you free from sin. Grace sets you free from sin. And I mean all sin. I don't care how small, I don't care how big it is, the grace is there, going back to what? God's abilities. To set you free, to keep you free. Not to set you free so you get back into sin, then He's got to free you again. No. To set you free and to keep you free from sin. All sin. All sin. All. Say all.
All.
All sin.
All sin.
God wants us to walk in total freedom from sin. That's the whole point. That Jesus was crucified on the cross. It's one of the biggest reasons why Jesus came, is to make us free, to set us free from our sin.
Amen.
And sin, and its dominion. Its dominion. Sin has power to it. That's what enslaves you. Okay? And Romans 6 also talks to me talk about being a slave to sin versus being a slave to righteousness. I'll tell you, some people will laugh at you for being a slave to righteousness, but trust me, they won't laugh at you on that day when you go into heaven and they go into hell for eternity. They're not going to laugh at you. They're not going to laugh at you. So if they're laughing at you now for living a holy life, let them laugh. Okay? I lived a sin-ridden life for 16 years, at least 16 years, from the age of 15 to 31. My life was plagued with sin. Okay? And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not going to get into, I gave my testimony a little bit the first time I was here. I'm not even going to get into that. Okay? Alright? I mean, there's worse. There's worse out there, but I was pretty bad. I mean, you know, anyhow. Okay? So let's move on here. I love this one. God gave me this verse. Oh my goodness, I don't want to get into, I don't have time to get into that tonight. When he gave me this verse. But anyhow, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I got two more verses, that's it. Alright? 1 Corinthians 15:10. I love this verse. But by the grace of God, Paul says here, I am what I am. Okay? And his grace towards me was not in vain. This is the New King James. Was not in vain. Meaning, it could have been in vain. A lot of people take God's grace in vain. Lots. I meet all kinds of Christians. They're born again and they take God's grace in vain. Yeah. It's sad. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Who all? The other apostles. The other apostles, okay? I'm going to get into that a little bit. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Okay? Now, he's not saying that he got God's grace and they didn't have God's grace. No, no, no. He didn't say that because he just said that I didn't take God's grace in vain. Meaning they had God's grace too, but they took it in vain. Okay? Who wrote most of the epistles? Who wrote most of the epistles? Paul. Yeah. Paul never walked with Jesus. Paul is not one of the first apostles. He's not an apostle of the Lamb. He's not. He's not. He came afterwards. Okay? But why did he write a third of the epistles? I know why. Because he did not take God's grace in vain. I'm not kidding. This is what Paul is saying right here. So key words here. We got the word grace three times in this verse. One verse, we got the word grace three times. Three times. And then, key words also, his grace towards me was not in vain. Okay? Paul is saying something here. He's saying it's not in vain towards me, but it's in vain towards other people. Okay? Key words also, I labor more abundantly than they all. All who? The other apostles. He did. He did. Paul did more. Paul was persecuted more than all of them. He labored more. He planted more churches. He discipled more people. He spent more time in prison than anybody else. He did. He did. Yeah, he did. Okay? All right. And last one here is 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace, or in this grace, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Whatever. Okay? But grow. Grow not only in the grace, but in the knowledge, but in the grace. We need to grow in this grace. So, key words first is grow in the grace. And this word, next key words is this word grow here, the Greek word, carries the idea of cause to increase, to become greater, and to enlarge. To enlarge. God wants us to grow in his grace. Amen. So these are just some verses, some key verses that I took out of my concordance that really I've applied to my own life. I'm not walking in them fully right now, but I'm working at it every day, you know. But these are some of the things that God has made available to each one of us. I don't care how young or old we are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's grace has been made available to each one of us. If you're already saved, then the grace of God is available in different areas. And if we're not saved, I know most, I believe everybody's saved here. So there's a grace available for the sinner, for him to get saved. And then once he's saved, there's a grace, another aspect of God's grace that's made available once you are saved. Okay? And God wants us to grow in His grace. In every facet of His grace. And you know what? We're going to give an account one day. We're going to give an account what we've done with His grace. When God has made available His abilities, His resources, His finances, His wisdom, His counsel, His presence, He's made all of that available for free. For free to us, but it wasn't free to Him. It cost Him something. It cost Him everything. Okay? All right? But we're going to give an account to this. He's going to say, what did you do with my grace? And He knows what you've done with His grace or what we did not do with His grace. So I believe this has blessed you, and I want to thank you for your time. I'm sorry it's so short tonight, and I got a boogie-woogie. But anyhow, it's a real pleasure to come up here. Praise God, and thanks again. You guys are a great crowd. Amen. Amen.